Tonight's message is the season of love, the season of love. And we're in the Christmas month of 2014. And how many here tonight are excited? Come on, guys, you got to be excited. It's the Christmas month. And, you know, as I spoke about last week, we are in the season of Advent, which is a season celebrated in many Western churches. Advent literally means coming. The season of Advent is a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the first Advent, the first coming of Christ into this world as a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. So on December 25th here in America, we are going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. That's good news, isn't it? And for Christians all around the world celebrating the birth of Jesus. This is the season of love. This is the season of giving. A very foundational part of God's love is expressed in giving. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God loved us so much, He loved this world so much that He gave His most precious possession. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son. And Jesus Christ gave of Himself, and that He left the beauty and the splendor of heaven to come to a sin-riddled world. His ministry began at the age of 30, and He gave of Himself when He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. We talked about this last week. He went about doing good, as it says in Acts 10:38, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He found those who were physically sick, and He healed them. He found those that were demon-possessed, and He delivered them from the demons. He found those who were dead, and He raised them back to life like Lazarus. And He gave of Himself on the cross at the age of 33. Jesus was born to die. Let me say it again. Jesus was born into this world to die. And the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. By our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Jesus died upon the cross so that you and I would not have to die eternally in hell. You know, you may have lived a life of sin, maybe having abused another person, maybe you abused your body with drinking and alcohol, maybe it's a lifestyle of cussing, I don't know what it is, maybe looking at things with your eyes that you shouldn't be looking at. But the thing is this, on the day that you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord by faith and by trust in Him, all the sins you committed up until the day that you accepted Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. Is that good news? All the sins you ever committed up until the day that you accepted Jesus as Savior were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. So that when God looked at you, He saw Jesus. He saw you. He had you clothed in a robe of righteousness. I'm going to read you something from the Speaker's Quote book. And it says this. George Woodall was a missionary to London's inner city. One day, a young woman he had led to the Lord came to him and said, "I keep getting worried. Has God really forgiven my past?" Mr. Woodall replied, "If this is troubling you, I think I know what He would say to you. He would tell you to mind your own business." "What do you mean?" she inquired with a puzzled look. He told her that Jesus had made her sins His business. When He took them away, He put them behind His back, dropped them into the depths of the sea, and posted a notice that reads, "No fishing." That's good news, isn't it? All right, and so those sins were forgiven. And from the point that you accepted Jesus as Savior and forward, we've got to live, you've got to live a life of godliness and holiness with the grace and the strength of God. And as you're living the Christian life, you know, at times you may slip back into a sin, something that you were struggling with in the past, maybe drinking, maybe alcohol, maybe saying some bad words. I don't know what it is. But you know what? God is faithful. And if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, John writes in 1 John 1:9. So we agree that God in Christ forgave us, right? Yes. of our sins. All the sins that we committed up until the day that we accepted Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. And just as God in Christ forgave us our sins, we need to do the same this Christmas season. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And it says this. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 32. He says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Then in Ephesians 5:1, in context, he says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." He says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God in what area? In the area of forgiveness. Friends, it's the season of love, the season of giving others the forgiveness that God has given us. Let me say it again. It's the season of love, it's the season of giving the forgiveness that got to others that God has given to us. You know, today, tomorrow, and during this month, offenses will come. Jesus said it in Luke 17, verse 1. Let me say it again. Today, later on today, maybe tomorrow, and later on this month, offenses will come. People will say and do things to get under your skin. They're going to step on your big toes. You know, they're going to irritate you in certain things they say and that they do. And especially during this Christmas season, when people are more stressed out, they're more likely to irritate you. They're more likely to get irritated and offended because it's the hustle and bustle of the season. People have, you know, other people to visit, and they're buying gifts, and they're going to parties, and there's so much going on during the December month that people are more stressed out. And so things can happen to offend you, to insult you during this month and beyond. Things will, I shouldn't say they could happen. They will happen. You know, maybe somebody insults your weight. Maybe you're trying to lose weight, and somebody sees you, a long-lost friend, and says, "Man, it looks like you gained some weight," and so you get insulted. You get offended. Or maybe somebody says something negative about your mom and you don't like it. Maybe somebody doesn't return correspondence. Okay, so if you allowed a seed of offense to take root in the soil of your heart, it can become a root of bitterness. If you allow that seed of offense, something somebody said or did, to take a hold of the soil of your heart and you nurture it, how do you nurture a seed of offense? By talking about it. "I can't believe she said that I look like I gained weight. I can't believe he said that about my mom. Man, I lent him $100 here a month ago and he said he paid me back on payday, Friday, and he never paid me back." And so 2 months go by and he never pays you back in 3 months and you're offended. If you nurture that offense by talking about it, by telling others about it, by thinking about it, guess what? It can become a root of bitterness on the inside of you. I don't want a root of bitterness growing up on the inside of me. How about you? I don't want a tree of hatred on the inside of me. How about you? No, right? How do you uproot any root of bitterness? How do you uproot that root of bitterness that is trying to get a hold of your heart? How do you uproot that root of bitterness on the inside that may be trying to get a hold of your heart? With the virtue called forgiveness. The virtue called forgiveness. What is forgiveness? When I say the word forgiveness, what comes to your mind? What's that? Okay, anybody else? What does forgiveness mean? Release, okay. To let go. Forgiveness is releasing a person of the debt that you feel that they owe you. Forgiveness is releasing a person of the debt that you feel that person owes you. And so maybe you lent that person $100 a month ago and they've never paid it back, and they told you they'd pay it back on payday a week later and they never paid it back, and 2 weeks comes by and 3 weeks go by and a month and 2 months and they never pay you. Guess what forgiveness does? Forgiveness releases that person of the debt that they owe you, saying, "You know what? Be blessed. You can keep the money. I forgive you." You know, some people might be thinking out there tonight, "Well, you know what? The least that he owes me, that she owes me, is an apology for that insulting comment that they made about me." Guess what? Forgiveness also involves releasing a person of the apology that you feel that they owe you. God has forgiven us of so much. He's forgiven us of a mountain of sin. And if we refuse to forgive others in a roundabout way, it's like we're putting ourselves above God. And that's pride. And pride comes before a fall. What does Paul write in Ephesians 5:1? I just read it. He says, "Be ye therefore imitators of God." He's talking in the context of forgiveness. We need to imitate God, creator of heaven and earth, in this area called forgiveness. Let's read Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Matthew 18:21, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Peter at this point might have been thinking, "Man, Jesus, I'm doing pretty good. This offender of mine has offended me seven times. He's on his eighth time, and maybe now I have the chance to get even with him. What do you think, Jesus? Seven times?" Verse 22. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Another translation says 70 times 7, 490 times. But we know here that Jesus is not talking about a specific number of times that we are to forgive our offenders. Would you agree? What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is trying to say, Peter, and he's trying to tell us, forgiveness is to be a lifestyle that we practice as disciples of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Jesus is trying to say to Peter and to us that forgiveness is to be a lifestyle that we practice on a daily basis as disciples of Jesus Christ. You see, the world, those who don't follow Christ, how do they think? They think revenge. They think about getting even. They think about retaliation. But we're followers of Christ. We're to release our offenders of the debt that they owe us. Verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore, Jesus tells a parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents was like millions of dollars. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And the master in this parable represents whom? It represents God. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. That's awesome forgiveness, isn't it? This master forgave this servant a debt of millions of dollars. But, verse 28, when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. You know how much 100 denarii is? It's a few dollars. It's maybe a day's worth of wages. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Isn't that unbelievable? He was just forgiven a debt of millions of dollars, and he finds somebody else who owed him just a few dollars and refused to forgive him that small debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called a servant in and said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." It's a shame, isn't it? This master forgave this person of a debt worth millions of dollars. And this person didn't have the love of God on the inside of him, and he found a fellow servant who owed him just a few dollars and threw him into prison until he could repay it all. He didn't remember what the master forgave him of. And let that not be us, all right? Let us remember all the sins that God has forgiven us of. Amen? And so this master reversed his decision after he had forgiven him millions of dollars and ended up throwing him into prison to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. You know, friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that unforgiveness and bitterness put you in prison. It puts you in several different prisons. It puts you in an emotional prison of depression when you think about the wrong that person did to you. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was an uncle. Maybe it was somebody in a marital relationship that did you wrong, that offended you, that insulted you. And you talk about it and you think about it and you start getting depressed. So depressed that you don't want to be around other people. So depressed that you don't want to eat. So depressed that you just sleep in every day, not wanting to interact with society. Unforgiveness and bitterness can put you in an emotional prison, just like this man was put into prison to be tortured, to be tormented by the jailers. It also can put you in a mental prison of torture. In your mind, you're tortured in your mind thinking about the wrong that person did to you day in and day out. So tortured that you can't even sleep at night. That's the enemy's way of robbing you of sleep. And I was talking with my wife here just a few nights ago at the dinner table, and she has a business where she's a nanny. She takes care of other people's children in their homes. And one of her clients was telling her about her dad, how he has been so bitter and unforgiving over his life. He's probably now in his 80s. He's kind of in a retirement center. And he cut off all of his siblings, remembering every little wrong thing they did to him. He's cut off all of his children, remembering all the little negative things they did to him. And he's completely isolated himself. It's such a sad state of affairs. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that when you get bitter and unforgiving, guess what? It isolates you. It makes you an island to yourself. It's a very dangerous place to be in. So I encourage you tonight to forgive your offenders, release your offenders this Christmas season and beyond of the debt that you feel that they owe you. Because if you don't, you're going to end up putting yourself in a prison of depression, in a prison of mental torture, in a prison of just isolating yourself from society and people around you. You know what bitterness is like? You know what unforgiveness is like? Unforgiveness and bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. Think about that. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. Guess what? He's off on his merry way, never knowing that he did something to offend you, maybe. Never knowing that he said something that offended you. He's on his merry way, carefree, and you're here offended and upset about what he said to you. Expecting him to get hurt. But guess what? He's not getting hurt. He's on his carefree way. You're hurting yourself if you live with unforgiveness and bitterness. You are killing yourself with unforgiveness and bitterness. And guess what, friends? Unforgiveness, bitterness put your life in jeopardy, your eternal life in jeopardy. Why? What does it say here in Matthew 18, verse 35? This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. What is it saying from this parable? That if you're walking in bitterness and unforgiveness toward your offender, your eternal life could be in danger. Could be in danger. It's in the parable. It's the scripture. I'm not coming up with anything new. This is what Jesus himself spoke. You know, if you go parachuting, I don't know if anybody here has ever parachuted, but you jump out of the plane and you open the parachute and hopefully it opens up and you land in safety eventually, right? 25,000 feet up. But if you try to open that parachute and it doesn't open and you've got no spare, guess what? You're going to hit that ground really hard and you're going to die. So I encourage you here tonight to open up the parachute of forgiveness over your offenders. Pretty much the scripture is saying is that if we don't walk in forgiveness towards our offenders, perhaps God is not walking in forgiveness towards us. And our eternal life is based on what? It's based on God's forgiveness of our sins by the work of Jesus and our faith in Jesus. So if somebody has offended you a lot in the past, if somebody is offending you right now, if somebody's going to offend you tomorrow in the future, I encourage you to open up the parachute of forgiveness over them and to save your life eternally. Is that good news here tonight? Say, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. Say it with me tonight. I am going to give forgiveness this Christmas season. And beyond, just like God in Christ has forgiven my sins in Jesus' name. I'm going to read you one more illustration, and the little children shall lead them. W.W. Smithson of Ohio found a prayer that his daughter wrote after her dog had been shot and killed. "Dear Lord," it read, "please help me not to get bitter against the people who did this. I need to try and love them, and this surely will be hard. Thank you, Lord. Amen. P.S. I guess we have to face some things in life that we don't want to face." And she prayed for God's strength not to get bitter against the person who shot her dog. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that forgiveness is tough. Maybe there was that certain someone in the past who repeatedly insulted you and abused you and offended you. And they did it so long that it's so hard now to forgive them and release them. But you know what? Forgiveness in our own human strength is impossible. We can't do it in our own human strength. It's only with God's empowerment and God's strength that we can forgive our offenders. And so when you get weak and you're like, man, this person's offended me, man. I can't believe they said what they said. My goodness, I can't believe this. And you start getting upset and bitter on the inside, start crying out to God and say, God, I know as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, as your child, God, I am to walk in forgiveness. And God, I can't do it on my own. God, I pray that you give me your strength and your empowerment to release this person of the debt that they owe me. I pray, God, that you give me your empowerment and your strength to forgive my offender. Amen? And you know, there may be somebody in your life that's, every time you're with that person, maybe they offend you, they cuss you out, they beat you physically. I don't know what it is. You know, you could forgive them in the sense that you don't get personal, you release them of personal retaliation. You forgive them in that sense. But if there's somebody in your life that every time you're with them and they're abusing you and cussing you and physically beating you and emotionally abusing you, and every time you meet that person, they're doing that to you, release yourself of having to get personal retaliation on that person, but at the same time, you've got to hold them morally accountable. And how do you hold that repeat offender morally accountable? Number one, by separating yourself from that person. And number two, by reporting the abuse and the offense to the authorities. If it's going on consistently where somebody is abusing you, every time you see them, every time you're with them, separate yourself. Number one. Number two, report it to the authorities, but release yourself from personal vengeance and retaliation against them. Amen? So this Christmas season, I encourage you to give the forgiveness to others that God in Christ has given to us. Is that good news here tonight?